Our next presenter is Rebecca Chandler. Working at AV Preserve, a consulting and software development firm, Rebecca Chandler specializes in analysis and recommendations for digitization workflows, infrastructure, and staffing. Rebecca is an experienced audio engineer, having worked in audio post-production at Broadway Video, Creative Group, and Sony Music Studios. She earned her MLIS with an archives certificate from Pratt Institute and holds a BM in music technology from NYU. And her presentation is titled Quantifying the Need, a Survey Existing Sound Recordings and Collections in the United States. Welcome, Rebecca.
Before it was something they did, wasn't it?
Do we have extended display on this?
Oh, I'm not mirroring.
She doesn't want a mirror, though. She needs her notes.
It worked before.
The second one, I guess.
Okay, cool. Thanks, sorry. So good morning. This presentation is based on a white paper that we are going to be releasing today. It was written by myself, Bert Lyons, and Chris Lucinic in collaboration with NEDCC and with support from the Mellon Foundation. Sure. The study was begun with the National Recording Preservation Plan's call for the appraisal of collections in mind, and it was meant to establish a foundation for articulating the current preservation need of sound recordings in collections nationwide. With NEDCC, we undertook an in-depth, multifaceted assessment to quantify the existing audio items in the country. Our goal was to acquire enough trustworthy data to be able to answer questions like, how many sound recordings are in broadcast organizations in the country or in special libraries? We also wanted to be able to answer more complex questions, like how many of those recordings are considered preservation worthy and how many have already been digitized. So this presentation is going to give a very brief overview of these findings and the methodologies that we used. For a more in-depth look, please download the white paper and give it a read. So the plan, obviously the feasibility of collecting and acquiring an inventory from every single collection holding organization in the US is low and would require a tremendous amount of resources and time, which we didn't have. Therefore, our approach used a method of extrapolation based on averages and organization types. We began by determining the number of collecting institutions in the US by type and then conducted surveys to generate average collection sizes for those institution types. We started by using data generated by ALA and GuideStar. ALA's fact sheet gave us the number of academic libraries and special libraries, as well as the definition of a special library that we would be using for the purpose of this paper. So we are defining special libraries as corporate, medical, military, government, religious, and law libraries. GuideStar is an organization that disseminates information about every IRS-registered nonprofit and, conveniently for us, splits it into categories. So those numbers inform the broadcast and archives/museums category. Historical societies were a lot trickier. GuideStar listed them at over 10,000 in the country, but if you've ever visited a historical society, you may have noticed that not all of them focus on preserving primary documents. So to get a more realistic number for our purposes, we decided to classify historical societies as the state archive as well as large city archives. So we estimated each state to have three large cities, including the capital, plus the state archive, would give us 200 historical societies for the country. So on to counting the recordings. We split this into three phases. Phase one identified pre-existing cross-organizational surveys that were published on audio holdings in the US. Phase two, we conducted a targeted small-scale survey of a variety of organizations in order to establish more current data points. In phase three, we conducted a large-scale national survey of a variety of organizations in order to establish a second current set of data points for comparison. And this is where we'd be able to drill down more specifically on preservation-worthy items and items already digitized. So attempts to quantify the number of audio holdings have been made every so often since at least 1998, when the Association of Research Libraries published a report on the results of its survey. Initially, we imagined that we could use these numbers in our efforts to project the total amount of audio holdings in the US, but we quickly ran into two problems. One, there was not enough data in the cross-organizational surveys to match organization types. Meaning it wasn't broken down into the types we just looked at, you know, archives and special libraries, et cetera. And two, there wasn't enough data in the cross-organizational surveys to assess the granularity we were looking for. We were also looking to split the holdings into broad categories, as in grooved media, magnetic media, and optical media. So since this data wasn't quite what we were looking for, we decided that these pre-existing cross-organizational surveys could serve as our control group. And we would use these numbers as baselines to compare the accuracy of the numbers we would determine in phases two and three. So while there were very few, as you saw, published cross-organizational surveys, there are a ton of single organizational reports available. So we gathered data from a variety of sources to create a new survey of audio holdings. We did not send out a survey at this point. We just gathered publications that we knew were out there, and we contacted colleagues in other organizations asking them to share their inventories if they had them. We ended up using data from the National Folklore Archives in 2003 UNESCO survey, testimonies, the National Recording Preservation Board, the American Archive Project, inventory and assessment data from past projects that we at AV Preserve have done, and we also had direct correspondence with organizations like Indiana University, the Minnesota Historical Society, and the University of Kansas, among many others. So unlike in phase one, we were able to acquire information about the audio format types at a more granular level. We were also able to gather data about the organization types. So this shows you academic libraries, how it's split between grooved, magnetic, and optical media, and so on. Unfortunately, we couldn't consistently gather data on specific formats, like instantaneous disks, vinyl disks. But this is definitely a lot better than we were able to do in phase one. So we now have numbers from our targeted survey, but we wanted to see how they measured up against our control group. So we decided to use a scatter plot using these data sets. So we're testing the relationship between data on an XY axis to see if there's a general trend line. We decided to skip using the Heritage Preservation Report because the numbers were just so much higher than all the other ones. It made it very difficult to see the trend line when everything is squished at the bottom and then that one's way up top. So we skipped that for now. And here's where the data fell. And as you can see, there is a trend line. There are a few outliers, which we actually were not concerned about because when we took a closer look at them, they were easily explained. So this one up top is the ARL data point taken from written testimony that did not include supporting evidence. So with no numbers to support the claim, it's difficult to ascertain the veracity of such a report. And you could see that it was very different from the other one, so maybe ARL was fudging their numbers a little bit. This one down here is the ARL data point from 1998, which could be explained. 1998 is, just when people were starting to worry a lot more about their audio holdings and starting to take note. Could have been that they underreported their numbers because they didn't have the numbers. They were just starting to look at their collections and generate numbers. And this third outlier is from the U.S. Oral History Survey, and it was a survey to get numbers on just oral history holdings across the country. So it's possible that institutions underreported there because they were only reporting on their oral histories and not all their other audio recordings. So here's our phase two survey point. And it comes in at 4.6 million items with 177 organizations counted. It lands just above the trend line, which gives us confidence that there's nothing statistically different about this from the other data points. We wanted to do another test to check our phase two results, and this one is called a t-test. Bert Lyons undertook this part of the check, and in the interest of time and me not embarrassing myself talking about really complicated math, I'll just tell you that we passed. You can get more data from the white paper when you check it out later, hopefully. So based on the results of these two statistical tests, we feel that we are confident in the data that we acquired, at least as confident as we can be with the other data points that other people generated. So I think we're in good shape. So phase three. In March and April of last year, we conducted an online survey to assess the need for audio digitization services among collection holding organizations in the U.S. The survey was sent to a variety of listservs and mailing lists, and although the intention of the survey was not specifically about quantifying holdings, we can extract a few key data points that can be used to help inform our phase two results. So question one asked the respondents about the size of their collections. 221 people answered the question, although 12 selected the I don't know option. We added this data to our scatter plot, and that's the point they're circled. To see how it would stack up, it came in at 7,632,500 items amongst 209 organizations. It's a little high, but it's within the general trend line, and also if we remove those outliers that we kept in, it would probably be right on. Question two dealt with uniqueness. In our phase two survey, we were unable to quantify what percentage of holdings were considered unique or preservation worthy. We felt this was an important distinction that should be accounted for. So question two asked respondents to identify what percentage of their total audio collections would be digitization candidates based on their rarity or uniqueness. 201 people answered the question, and the average response was 57% of the respondents' collections were considered unique or rare. Also, in an effort to weed out further items that do not need to be digitized, we asked people what percentage of our collections were already digitized. 221 people responded, with 13 choosing I don't know, and on average, 17% of each respondent's collection had already been digitized. So our intention with this assessment was to acquire a data set reliable enough to allow us to project the total quantity of preservation-worthy, not yet digitized audio holdings in the United States. We also hope to acquire enough detailed information to be able to estimate the quantities of formats at granular levels. Based on our efforts, we feel comfortable offering the following projections. There are an estimated 537,221,794 sound recordings held by collecting organizations in the U.S. Based on our phase three survey, we can refine this prediction by considering the number of preservation-worthy and already digitized items. So 57% of this leaves us with 306,216,423 preservation-worthy sound recordings. And finally, when we take out that 17% that has already been digitized, our final estimation of preservation-worthy items in the United States requiring digitization is 254,159,631 as of December 2014. We went one step further. We want to know how much this is going to cost us. So to calculate an average cost for audio digitization, we drew on vendor quotes that we've received over the past few years. On average we split them into specialized and non-specialized workflows. The distinction is that some items, due to their physical condition or because of the nature of the content they contain, can't be handled in batch high throughput workflows and therefore can't benefit from pricing at scale. So on average, those that could have a non-specialized workflow would be $60 an item, and double that for a specialized item for $120. We now needed to estimate the quantity of the total market of media items that will require specialized versus non-specialized workflows. So based on our experience with various institutions, we estimated that of the preservation-worthy items out there, 19% of magnetic media, 90% of grooved media, and 3% of optical media will require a specialized workflow. So, using those numbers with the average costs, the effort to digitize preservation-worthy sound recordings in collection-holding institutions comes in over $20 billion. This is a huge number and does not even include the cost that will be associated with preparing materials for digitization, describing materials for access, ongoing storage of digital files for preservation access, and general organizational overhead. While 254 million items and $20 billion may be scary numbers, the purpose of the study was not to depress you. In order to overcome funding and infrastructure barriers, it will be essential to have an accurate picture of what the need is today. We need to stop using outdated numbers. Incorrect numbers result in a response that is out of alignment and falls short of our need. We should all know what we need when we ask for it. And when used with other business-oriented analysis and quantitative data, we can begin to think critically about this, about the available options and the implications there. There will be challenges and tough choices. Prioritization will probably be key, but these challenges are best faced with good data in hand in order to make well-informed decisions. So I wanted to give a big thanks to Bert and Chris at AV Preserve, Bill, Jessica, and Mason, I think they're here, from NADCC, were a huge help, of course, and Andy from the Vermont Folklife Center. And thank you. This top link is the link to the report. You could also just get to it through our website, www.avpreserve.com, if you can't write that down quickly. And thank you for your time.
Any questions for Rebecca?
Yes. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
In your different archives, and where are public libraries? Were they counted as part of the archives museums?
We decided to include the public libraries that hold audio recordings with the museums and archives category, because most public libraries are not going to have preservation-worthy materials. So we kind of stuck them in there with the rest.
Anyone else?
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for that. You talked sometimes about items and sometimes about recordings. Items to me sometimes means physical items. Does it mean recorded items? Or do they mean the same thing or different things? In other
words? I was using them interchangeably.
As the same thing, to mean recordings. Okay, thank
you.
Any other questions?
Where does the private collector's collection fit into
this? Excellent question. I was waiting for that. At this point in the study, we did not have the resources needed because that would be a massive undertaking. I don't think there's a good way to make averages on private collections, but it could be a future phase of this project.
Let me suggest using the information in the ARSC directory for at least a subset of the private collectors who do list the various aspects of their collections.
Yeah, it would be a great place to start for sure. Thank you.
We actually have time for one more question if anyone else has a question.
Yes.
Thanks, this is really interesting. You mentioned selection is key. Do you make any recommendations in the report about how you think you might address that issue?
We don't. Prioritization is a really tricky thing. Technical prioritization is much easier to make recommendations on, but I mean, within each institution, you need to balance both the technical needs and the content and what your users need. So it's a very tailored thing that I wouldn't want to just make general recommendations about. All right, thanks, guys.